You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Motor City Sports Talk, episode 41. I am Brian, joined by Jeff, JJH Pounder, our resident golf expert. Evening, Jeff. And Lindell Brown, the resident soccer expert.
Yes.
So maybe we'll finally address soccer with you on a podcast, because I don't think we've actually talked about it while you were here.
No, I don't think we have.
So maybe we'll talk some soccer later. Actually, we are going to talk soccer.
Exciting, golf and soccer.
Yeah. And I want to talk about...
Hot show.
Even better, I want to talk about rosters.
I'm leaving.
I want to talk about... And I want to talk about financing public stadiums.
You've already had that,
Rand. That's a good topic.
I have more because of what's going on with the Pistons, but also soccer-related. FC Cincinnati is a new club that is trying to extort money from taxpayers of Cincinnati for a stadium.
Yes, and they already screwed up the baseball one. So
yeah, well, baseball and football. So that kind of ties into soccer a little bit. And we can talk about that later.
See, Lando's wearing his Greg Norman shirt. It's golf-related.
The shark.
The minnow.
Yes. The guy who... tanked it in the Masters.
Yeah. Was that like 90? Was that 94 or so? 95?
No, it's tough to get all the ones he tanked. They all sort of get mixed up.
Yeah.
I managed to go the entire weekend without watching the U.S. Open.
Really?
That makes two people. I can't believe I saw the winner on highlights. I was like, oh shit, the U.S. Open was this weekend.
Yeah. I gambled on it.
Yep.
And I put it on at work on Thursday afternoon for about 10 minutes and had to turn it off because I had to do something else. And that was, so I listened to about 10 minutes of it.
I came in second in your pool.
Good for you. Who won?
Koepka. Oh.
Who won the... I know Koepka won. Who won the gambling?
Hockey Ryan?
Hockey Ryan?
I don't know. Does that ring a bell?
Well, there's a guy named Ryan and a guy named with a hockey in his name, and they're two separate people. So that was probably evil.
We'll pull it up.
So, yeah, this is exciting. So did anything happen besides Joe Buck called Koepka's girlfriend by his old girlfriend's name?
Other than the golf that happened?
Yeah, like anything interesting.
That was
last
big highlight.
There was the blimp crash.
Yeah, the blimp crash. I forgot about that.
The E. coli or something in the water.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And some 94, 96-year-old person died at the course.
And didn't somebody set a low score to major record?
Oh, yeah. You said non-golf related.
Well, not... Okay.
Where was it at? Where was it played at?
Wisconsin.
We're in Wisconsin. Like Milwaukee area?
Oh, we're in...
This is my knowledge of Wisconsin. There's Wisconsin. There's the Milwaukee area. And then there's Madison. And then there's some other shit.
Green Bay.
There's Green Bay, which is close to where Making a Murder occurred.
Well, I think Boss won. Is he Spartan?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Boss.
Good on Boss. Who's the last one to join?
All
right. So did anything...
I watched most of it. I thought it was actually...
was a good one?
A fun tournament to watch. I mean, it's probably terrible for the ratings because... All the big names missed the cut. Like Day shat the bed. Fowler. McIlroy shat the bed.
DJ
shat the bed. Spieth made the cut, but he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So all the big names sort of missed the cut, but going into Saturday, Sunday, there was a lot of people all tied for the lead or going for the lead. So it was pretty exciting. And then a lot of young, up and coming golfers, I would say, like Koepka.
Koepka won. Reed played pretty well, didn't he?
He played well on the weekend. Justin Thomas, young guy, another one. He set the open record at the 63.
Yeah, that's crazy to shoot a 63 at a U.S. Open.
Matsuyama put a charge on Sunday. He's another guy like under 30.
Yeah, he's interesting. He always seems like he's ready to break out with a major, and then he falls off the rails for
Fowler,
6 months.
Fowler was putting together a hell of a bit around until Sunday, and I think he shot even par.
Okay.
And another one under 30. So I think they said like on going into Sunday, the top 18... The top 18 players, none of them have ever won a major, so it was going to come down to someone winning their first one, which I think is like seven majors in a row that's been a first-time winner now.
Yeah, because Sergio won Masters. Koepka, who won the championship last year?
I had to look.
because DJ won the U.S. last year.
Won the U.S. Shit.
So it'd have to be the U.S. Sir the Jim. Who won the British?
That's what I'm trying to think of. I don't know.
Answer box.
Yeah.
It was
Stenson.
Oh yeah, him. And, was that the him and Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those two were came battling down on. I think on Sunday. Well, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Stenson missed the cut, the Open, U.S. Open, but. I watched most of it. It's entertaining. I said then you had a blimp crash during it. And
yeah, that was crazy. Like yeah. 20 minutes into the U.S. Open, the blimp crashed. They said it wasn't associated whatsoever with
A financial company that was just...
It was like a rogue blimp.
Flying a blimp around doing some advertising and
so they clearly shot it down.
Possibly.
Some kid with a BB gun.
Have you ever seen the Archer where they're flying on the blimp and Archer keeps smacking cigarettes out of everybody's hands because they're going to kill everybody?
I think I might have seen that episode. But
that's a really old one. It's funny, though.
Koepka ended up at 16 under, which I think is a U.S. Open probably record.
So the course, because it's always like only a couple under, they usually make it really tough.
Play that hard, but that's because of that course they played. I mean, it's a very open course, so they were. Wind usually has a lot to do with making it as difficult as it is. And the first 3 days, there was like just barely any wind whatsoever. So
yeah,
it's not low.
I was surprised because my DraftKings went terribly wrong, and I based it off of course history.
They don't have any course history there.
They do, not at the Open, but Aaron Hills has course history.
Not much for the people that were playing at it, but...
No, I mean...
I think the course is only like...
16 rounds.
I think the course is only like 10, 15, 20 years old or something.
I mean, DJ's played, I think it was like 16 rounds there. There were a couple guys that had
they
played.
They had the amateur there 1 year, I think, but...
I think that was Reed's history there, so...
The course is weird. I didn't know that they said like before the tournament, like, the guy that bought the course to develop it, like lost his ass, like lost like $16 million on the course and had to sell it. And then, like, the developer architect for the course was in jail for murdering his wife. So the stories like
what's,
behind the course.
What's
was really
going
weird.
On in Wisconsin with odd murders?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's because wrestling died. Because now Brendan can't watch the big match. Remember that? Part of Making a Murder.
Yeah.
Brendan Dassey wanted to
watch Making a Murder. How?
You didn't watch it?
No.
Yeah, he had. I've seen it, yeah.
It's great.
All right.
I can't believe you didn't watch any of it.
I was really busy all weekend.
Yeah.
I've kids and they don't necessarily want to sit around and watch 8 hours of golf.
No?
No.
Jeez. Your kids don't like watching paint dry?
No.
That's exciting.
You know what's really exciting? Just now, before I came here, I had to change my daughter's diaper.
That's not
And
exciting.
While wiping her butt,
here's our poop
she sneezed.
Uh-oh.
And hit me in the chest with a booger.
Okay.
Off of a sneeze.
It was better than what I was expecting.
Like, I was angry at first, and it's disgusting, but I was impressed by the distance on that sneeze out of a two-year-old.
Yeah.
That was like a 4 foot, like, nose to chest snot rocket.
And it's a lot better than
sneeze,
I thought was going to happen.
Don't they say it like generates like 300 miles an hour or something like that? The ejection out of your nose? I saw that.
I have
somewhere.
No idea.
Fun fact.
I remember seeing that. Like, they measure the actual velocity of the sneeze, and it's like.
So, one thing
miles
Fox did have on their golf coverage, they had all like the swing. Speed, the ball velocity.
Okay.
And like on every shot. So that was cool. The commentators, like Joe Buck sucked. And who else was doing it?
Yeah, I don't get why they put Joe Buck on it.
I don't know.
Like, I don't have the hate for Joe Buck that most people do, but I just don't get why you would put him on golf.
Different. I mean,
yeah, for the most part, I don't. Like, when he does football and what, I just don't give a shit.
Fox's coverage of the U.S. Open, like, 2 years ago was absolutely horrendous. This was better, but still terrible. Like, they had the guy going around, the guy on the course that follows the groups. They asked him, like, all right, this guy's got a big putt coming up. You know, what does it do? It's like, yep, he needs to make it. And that was his, like, analysis.
Here's what I think needs to happen here. Put the ball in the hole.
That's what he said. He's like, he needs to make it, and it's a tough putt.
With the fewest strokes possible.
It's like, Jesus, dude. I guess some people that may know golf to do the commentating.
Who's that one guy? The guy with the accent.
Faraday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Faraday.
He's good.
Awesome. Yeah, I love him. Because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, he's not intentionally mean, but he's just very straightforward with it. So, he just...
He knows what he's talking about, but he's funny right. doing it.
Yeah, I mean, because he was on tour for a while. He's just not very good.
It's because he's got an accent.
Yeah.
So it makes him funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what makes him an expert, is you're not going to question him because you can barely understand his accent.
Have you ever seen his talk show?
Yeah, I have, actually.
That's actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, he's an entertaining dude. Do you want to talk the Tigers roster? The Red Wings roster, the Lions roster, or the Pistons roster?
Can you talk about why the hell Anibal Sanchez is pitching today?
That's part of my Tigers roster. I noticed Anibal Sanchez is starting.
Oh, I thought he was down.
He was.
Yeah.
They brought him up.
They said he's pitching okay, I think was their quote. So, so they brought him up.
So they ramped him up. they ramped him up to be a starter again. Four starts. First one was two innings. I think the second one was two or three innings. Then it was like four innings. And the last start was five innings. He had seven strikeouts and one walk on 83 pitches, which is okay. And again, I mean, that's the basis is it was okay. So
why not bring
him
up? I mean,
they don't have anything else.
On the word okay here.
Yeah.
I think it was a direct... quote from their manager, pitching coach, whatever down there. Said he's pitching okay.
That's why I laughed. I was like, I can so see that. This
now we're
going to
kill
reaction.
Any little confidence he had when he.
No, I mean he didn't have any confidence.
Well,
I'm
thinking
this
Toledo,
is sort of like,
though, right?
Here, come up if you shit the bed. You're completely done. We're just cutting ties with you.
I mean, what else do we have? I mean, Buck Farmer's been blown up his last two starts. I don't know what they were doing with Boyd. And then
sell.
Yeah, is it Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports does a good write up, and he was talking about what JD Martinez is going to command in the offseason on the open market, and it's going to be a monster contract. So he broke it down. He's like, there are two players over the last three seasons that have slashed 300 batting average. Over 360 on base percentage and over 550 slugging percentage, and it's Mike Trout and JD Martinez.
Wow. Man, that guy turned it around.
It's a new level this year. He's still going so well. He is just mashing the ball this year. He keeps it up. Him and Avila both, if they can keep it up for a few more weeks, and we can sell them both, those two alone will boost our farm system 10.
Surprisingly, Avila's doing good enough where you can actually get something for him
Who
if you get rid of him.
Who would have ever thought that?
I thought bringing him back was a good signing.
Move, but I thought McCann was going to play a lot more than Avila
was. Yeah.
Because McCann was hitting the ball decent.
Yeah, he looked like he was going to get the majority of the action, but Avila's just... And Avila has gone back to an approach that you see when you look back at 2011. And everybody looks back to 2011. He was worn down. He was never the same. After it was about the first week of September, his numbers basically fell off at that point and really struggled outside of getting on base and taking walks. He didn't ever see that power again. He hit 11 home runs in like 2013, and it's the only other time he's been in double digits except for this year and that 2011 season, his rookie year. And it's because he was worn down, he got beat up, and he kept getting those concussions, so he could never stay healthy. He's a year and a half removed from his last concussion, and he kind of went back to that old way of just driving the ball. He's four of his home runs are to the opposite field. So
they're giving him the green light on 3-0 a few times. He's just like, all right, swing away.
Well, I mean, you guys got an impeccable eye, so you might as well trust him. I mean, that was the thing. Even in his down years when he was batting for shit, I remember his last season here before they let him walk. Around the All-Star break, he was batting 198. He had a 355 on base percentage. So that's when I don't care about your batting average. Is when you're getting on base over 350, you can bat 198 because you're walking, especially out of eighth or ninth, wherever he was hitting, when you're in the bottom of the lineup and you're still getting on more than a third of the time,
turning it over.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're working a pitcher.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. And that's what he's been doing, and he's just been able to drive the ball this year. So you might be able to get a couple of decent prospects for him off of, because he's dirt cheap. I think he's only making like $3 million this year. A team picks him up for $1.5 million for the rest of the way, which is nothing to an MLB team.
So how many out are they?
Like four and a half.
Four and a half. But they're like four under. Cleveland's finally starting to put it together. It's not going to go well. They need to sell.
July is the drop dead, right?
Yeah, it's usually the 31st of July.
Yeah, they need to.
The sooner the better. Just let it go.
I think at this point, too, I think like the fans are sort of getting, I wouldn't say upset, but they're sort of checking out from this team. They've seen the same team for long enough, and I think everyone's sort of like, all right, blow it up. I think the player just sort of had enough with the fans. I think the relationship has sort of gone sour, so why not blow it up, start new? Because the other day, the fans were booing Cabrera, and then Verlander came out and was like talking shit about the fans. And so I think both ways, it's sort of like, all right, we've had enough of each other.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at, because I've seen things about Yankees fans or the press writing about the Yankees fans not showing up even though they're in first place. And I looked back at some of the Tigers' attendance numbers, and it's less about success. It's more about expectations. So the most fans the Tigers have ever drawn in a year was 2008. That was after the Miggy trade when they were hot garbage. They got Miggy. They had Edgar Renteria at short. They had just bats everywhere. That lineup was stacked. And Sheffield was incredible. He was still on that team. His team was going to score.
Didn't we have Miggy before that?
What's that?
2008?
Oh, they were coming out of the 06.
So didn't we have Miggy before that, though?
No. He was traded for Sheffield after the 06 World Series run. Did not make the playoffs in 07. They faded. They had the best record in baseball at the All-Star game and faded down the stretch. It was one of Leland's first tank jobs because Leland was not a good manager. Then they traded in the 07 offseason to start 08 for Miggy and Dontrell Willis. But that was the Tigers are going to be the first team to score 1,000 runs in a season. This offense is unstoppable. West. And they finished like 10 games under 500.
Last in the Central.
Yeah, and it was the most, the highest attendance ever in Tigers history was that season. You look at 06, they barely broke 2 million. They haven't fallen back below 2 million since then, since 06, but they're on pace for it this year.
It's been a steady decline.
Yeah, and it's about the expectations going into the season, less about what goes on in the season.
God, so you think about that, and then you think about the Red Wings. Like, I wonder what the fallout will be from season ticket holders between those two. The Lions, they're just crazy people. They're going to buy them no matter what. They've been losing for 50 years, so it doesn't matter. But those other two came off the hot ones, and now they've faded. Fans have just, I think they're turned off, you know?
Yeah, so that's, and again, that's why I didn't necessarily want to just straight roster talk this, because there was an article I read today was really interesting that can tie into all of the teams. And the other thing I wanted to say about the Tigers, Lindell and I talked about this at work today about V-Mart just being old and having a irregular heartbeat. Him just giving up and retiring helps the Tigers. It helps the roster. It means they don't have to pay him any more money. That's fine, and that's dandy, and you don't wish anybody ill health, but he is not good anymore. The only way Brad Ausmus was going to pull him out of the cleanup spot was if he was hurt.
It's ridiculous.
And he needs to be out of it. But this falls under the Johan Franzen for the Red Wings, the concussions thing. Like, your health is more important than hanging on for another season. He's 38 years old, has made $124 million playing baseball, and has a family, including another young kid. Make sure your heart's okay. Like, this isn't, and Ausmus even made a statement about not wanting to really go into depth or talk about how long he would be out for. He's like, because this isn't a rolled ankle. This is his heart. I don't know this isn't a typical injury you see. You got to make, like, they're talking that they're going to try to ramp his cardio back up in 2 weeks. It's like, just just stop.
Yeah, it's sort of something you want to take your time with. Not
yeah. You're 38 years old and you've got some heart problems. Maybe take it easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, not to take light of it, but kind of from a perspective of, remember the old dude in Major League?
Yeah, Harris.
Harris, where he, how to fix shit. He was like, oh, I'll rub some Vagisil on it.
Yeah. He tried to get his, you know, you get a jalapeno there, get your nose running, put that on the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got Vaseline over here, got some Vagisil right here.
It's like V-Mart in the locker room, you know.
Yeah.
What do you do? Oh, I just put some Epsom salt in my ear, you know.
But so what I read today, which I thought was an interesting article, do you know what The Athletic is? The Athletic is a website. There's a Chicago.
A singular player from Oakland?
Yeah. No. So The Athletic is it's a website. There's a Chicago-based one. There's Chicago, Toronto, Cleveland, maybe a New York one. And then now there's a Detroit. It launched this morning. Craig Costanza? He was...
Costanza?
No, not Costanza. He's the... He was an NHL insider on ESPN for...
He's in the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. New York.
So anyway, so he's an NHL insider from ESPN for about 15, 20 years. He's from Detroit. He went to Michigan State. He launched the Detroit version of it this morning. He's going to do hockey, but he's the editor-in-chief. He's bringing on people to do all of the things. It's a membership fee to read it. It's, I think it was like $25 for the year. It wasn't very much. But the Chicago version, some of the writers they have in Chicago are great writers. They also have guest columns, and one of the columns that they had up today, a guy who was the assistant general manager for the Capitals for about 5 years and then for Dallas for maybe a decade, wrote an article about the Red Wings rebuild, and there was a section of it that I think applies to all of the Detroit teams. I mean, it just applies to every team in general, but he talked about his time in Dallas when he was there 04, 06 because of the strike, 07. And how some of the contracts they were giving out, some of the things that they were doing, was looking back and trying to keep their 1999 Cup win. You helped us to that 99 Cup, you're still good. And they weren't valuing players at the right level. And because he was advocating for a complete teardown of the Red Wings. This is as a former assistant general manager in the NHL for many years. The Red Wings need to tear it down. And Ken Holland might not be the right person, but you can't look back and think about the success you've had while you try to look forward at the same time. And the problem in Detroit that you're going to see is everybody in that room thinks about, man, when we built up that 02 winner, when we built up that 08 winner, they were doing so on reputation as being a great organization that took care of their players. All the players wanted to come here to win. That's not like that anymore. Nobody's taking discounts to come to Detroit, but you've got the same people in front office positions that still believe that to be true.
Yeah, you look at the last few years, all the free agents.
Nobody here. Wants to come here. No. And nobody's in that. Nobody is in that room to give them that dissenting point of view. And you look at the Oilers, there's one that he brought up in particular. The Oilers, up until a few years ago, we're under the impression that we're the Oilers. Wayne Gretzky was here. Look at all of our cup banners. Those were all from the 80s and 90s, and they were still of that mindset that we're the Oilers, we're great. And they brought in a new GM from the outside who immediately was like, you're the Oilers. Nobody wants to come to Edmonton. Yeah. Why would they choose Edmonton outside of you're giving them more dollars or more years? They're not coming here because Gretzky played here 30 years ago. And the Red Wings need that. That's why I think you got to get rid of Ken Holland, amongst many other things. But I think that applies to the Tigers as well. This 06, this run that started in 06, kind of paused, and then the four straight AL Central titles is over. I'm not necessarily saying Avila hasn't done anything, in my opinion, that you have to immediately remove him and that he's bad, but maybe you need to bring in an outside voice as well to say you need to look at yourself and realize that you aren't that team that won four straight AL Centrals. You're garbage now. You're too old and you lost the good players. You got to start from scratch. And the Red Wings need that too. Ken Holland, who leaves Peter Mrazek unprotected in this expansion draft in favor of Jimmy Howard, who is 8 years older, more injury prone, costs more money and a shittier goalie, he kept because he believes that Howard gives them the better chance to win today. They don't need to win today. They need to lose today.
I was surprised when I saw that list today.
Everyone was. Everyone everywhere was.
Like, not just with Mrazek and Howard, but like, why would you protect like Abdelkader, who you know no one's going to... They're not going to take him, so why not leave him unprotected and protect someone else?
Everybody believes that Las Vegas will not take Bobby Ryan from the Ottawa Senators, who has an extra year on his contract for about $2 million more dollars, but is about 15 times more productive than Justin Abdelkader. They don't think they'll take him because it's too long and too much money. They're not taking Abdelkader.
Yeah.
Do you know who they're going to take? Riley Shahan, who has 1 year and $2 million left and is probably as productive as Abdelkader, if not a little bit more so.
I'm saying, why wouldn't you protect Shahan? You're not losing Abdelkader either. Even if you want him, leave him unprotected because no one's taking him anyway.
Right. If they took him, it would actually be a favor. But, and I read this about a week ago, there's a rumor that they're grooming Abdelkader to take over as captain. So that's why they gave him the length. And they kept him protected, which if he's going to be captain, that's fine. He's probably a very nice guy. I have nothing against him, but his cap hit is too high for what his production level is.
Yeah.
Dustin Brown, the captain of the Los Angeles Kings, was left unprotected because his contract is too long. He's too old. He's not as productive anymore. And he's their captain, and they didn't care because they made a business decision.
At the same time, like I said, they probably knew he wasn't going to get picked up by Vegas. So
yeah.
Let's protect someone else.
It's doing the Kings a favor to take him.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, this could be Ken Howland's thought that everybody says we're going to lose Shahan no matter what, so it doesn't matter which goalie I protect because they're going to take Shahan. But Vegas has the ability to take up to seven goalies. And then trade them immediately. So they can take Mrazek and then immediately trade him. Even if they trade him for a third-round pick, that's fine. That's just a bonus pick to them.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I heard, too, that somewhere that someone said that Holland wasn't even gonna, like, open to negotiating with Vegas. Like the other teams are like, hey, if you take this guy, you know, we'll do this move or we'll do this trade with you.
The rumors are that Vegas has between three and five first-round picks in this draft this weekend because they're staying away from players teams want to keep. They want to keep a couple players that they couldn't. So it's, I'll give you a first round pick if you take so and so off our hands. Sure. And there's a couple of ways Vegas can build this team. It is through the draft and through stocking their farm system. And maybe they'll take 2, 3, 4 years to build a contender, but they will build a contender if you get as many draft picks as you want, which they have the ability to do. Yeah. Or they could draft a competitive team this year, which I went through and I pulled up a pretty competitive team, a team that has, you know, in NHL terms, you have six defensemen and you rank them number one through number six. They basically have two number two defensemen, a number three defenseman, and a bunch of number four defensemen. But that's literally their defense is better than Detroit's by taking all of these players. And that's not even signing a single free agent. They could take a play, and again, they're going to take some players, and they could take nine defensemen, all of which would be considered starting NHL defensemen, and trading three of them immediately for extra draft picks because there are teams that need those players. They're in a great position right now to build a franchise. They're in a better position than the Red Wings are. I feel like Las Vegas will be more competitive in the NHL sooner than Detroit is competitive again. Because unless they get rid of Ken Holland.
Holland's unwillingness to actually deal or negotiate with Vegas is like,
honestly,
what's your thinking behind it?
If they could send, there's a couple of players, there's a, and it depends on your philosophy, but there's a guy from Buffalo, Zach Bogosian, there's Mithat from Ottawa, there's a defenseman in Washington, but there's quite a few defensemen that are unprotected that could immediately help the Red Wings. If the Red Wings were to send a first round pick this year and one of their four third round picks to Las Vegas in exchange for them taking Jonathan Erickson off your hands and sending you one of the defensemen back, and maybe you have to throw another pick in next year, but you could send them three draft picks and immediately get rid of your worst defenseman and bring in a guy who could be your number two defenseman on this team would be your number one, but you immediately upgrade. If you believe this team is still in a competitive area, then you need to be dealing with Vegas to pick up a couple of guys and to get rid of one of your bad contracts. And Ken Holland said he's not going to do it.
No.
He will. He basically is refusing to get creative like every other GM in the NHL is doing. And to go into this, and what Stan Van Gundy is doing with the Pistons. He is talking to absolutely everybody right now. There's rumors that the Lakers are trying to get the number 12 pick. It's going to be really hard with the way the contracts are, but with the news coming out that Paul George told Indiana that he's done, that he's going to sign with the Lakers after next year, Pacers are trying to get whatever they can for him. So there's rumors that the Cavs are throwing everything they can to get him to come to Cleveland. The Lakers are considering trying to get him there a year early and just re-signing him because it helps to re-sign a player versus signing as a free agent when it comes to your luxury tax. And the Lakers are also trying to add another lottery pick, and they've already contacted the Pistons on it. Stan Van Gundy is open to, and he's been not shy about telling the media that he will take a call on any player. You can call on any player. It doesn't mean he's going to do anything about it, but it doesn't hurt to listen. If you want to call and... let's say Andre Drummond was way better than Andre Drummond is, he would still be willing to listen to what you have to say. Let's say he had a LeBron James-like player, which we are far from having, but if he had a franchise player like that, he would still listen to your offer. Because it depends on what your offer is. Like, if you want to go over the top for a player, then it doesn't hurt to consider it. And Ken Holland won't consider those things with the Red Wings, but Van Gundy is with the Pistons. Problem is, I was reading an article about the Pistons and like the national viewpoint of it, and basically everybody just laughs at thinking at Pistons fans thinking that they're going to get anything for Reggie Jackson. Everybody's like, he's a scoring point guard who can't pass and can't score. Right. What does any team want him for? He can't shoot for shit, and he's supposed to be a scoring point guard.
The modern day Vinny Johnson.
See, it looks like Boston was going to take the reason Boston made that trade out of number one for the Sixers is they were going to take Josh Jackson.
Oh, is that who they wanted?
So they said they can get the guy they wanted at three, the guy they were going to take at one.
Okay.
And 76ers wanted Fultz, right? Markelle Fultz. They wanted Fultz, so like it doesn't hurt them at all.
Yeah. Which that was something I read on.
Which is funny because. In theory, Philly didn't need to give anything up then because they would have still gotten him at three.
Yeah, but I read that the reason for getting fault was that's a hedge against Ben Simmons not being who they thought he was.
Right, and they don't think Simmons can be the point guard.
Yeah.
So they get faults, which is fine because if Simmons is just a guy who can handle the ball really well and play a weird hybrid power forward through shooting guard role, that could work in the NBA.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that team. Because you've got Joel Embiid.
If he can stay, this comes up with a lot of
what ifs.
But if Embiid stays healthy, he's going to be a fantastic player. Yeah, I mean he's already a really good player when he's on the floor, but it's just keeping him on the floor. Yeah, that'll be really interesting. So that draft's Thursday night. See what happens there.
Make sure I tune in.
Thursday. So we could potentially have two very empty stadiums.
Well,
the only saving grace is it's gonna be brand new.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, but also
for the first year,
there's a chance the Palace isn't empty either.
Oh yeah.
With the lawsuit against the DDA.
Yeah, that's.
Which again, I've made my points many of times that I hate taxpayer money going to building these stadiums. But at this point in time, I think the lawsuit is too late.
Yeah, too many.
Again, I completely agree with the idea that if we're going to use public funds to fund a stadium, it needs to be up to a vote of the people. And the fact that it wasn't, I do agree with, is trash. But I don't think you can wait until last week to file the suit. Yeah. I think granted it was before the vote. The vote is tomorrow. I also think it's complete garbage that Tom Gores is demanding $34 million in taxpayer money to build a practice facility when he paid $325 million for the Pistons in 2011. For the Pistons, the Palace, and Pine Knob, he's going to get more than $34 million for the land that the Palace is on. And right now, Forbes says just the Pistons alone are worth over $900 million. There's no reason that man can't afford $34 million to cover that practice facility. So that should be the fail-safe.
Yeah.
He needs to come forward and say, if the voters disagree, then I will do this. However, as a private owner of this, he gets to run it the way he wants, which is fine, and I don't have a problem with that. But the city's going to own it. The city doesn't need to own that, because without them there, there's no reason for it to exist.
Well, I mean, let's be logical. You got a facility. Fucking use the Palace.
Yeah.
Who cares if players have to drive down to the game? I mean, you think about a lot of the teams, they're not like right next door to the arena.
Right.
Where they practice. So you own the facility. Why go build a new one just to say you're downtown?
Yeah. It's $34 million for a guy worth $4 billion that bought the Pistons on beyond the cheap at $325 million, which sent a ripple effect through the NBA because it was so absurdly cheap what he paid for them because the family was in a bind that owned them. Yeah. That, like, this guy, I guarantee this guy's got a boat worth more than $34 million. He can afford $34 million for his players to practice downtown if he wants it that badly.
No, totally agree.
And again, that should be his fail-safe. If he wants to try to hustle as much tax-free money out of the Pistons, if he wants to not pay taxes on the land for 10 years, some crap like that, if he wants to negotiate as much as he can along those lines, fine, go for it. But this shouldn't be a Pistons don't move downtown unless they give me $34 million to show up is bullshit. Yeah. That and... I, as a Red Wings season ticket holder, they keep harassing me to buy the Pistons season tickets.
Are they doing the double deal yet? Buy two, get two for one price?
No, not quite that good. But what happens if... let's say the Pistons don't move downtown for this. What about anybody who bought tickets solely for moving downtown? What do they do? Are they going to hold them to that? What's the refund rebate on that? Sorry, you got to drive out to the Palace now?
Yeah, you drive to the Palace.
Yeah, deal with it. Which sucks. I wouldn't do it. I would only consider it if I was at Little Caesars Arena. I'm still not going to do it for the Pistons because kids eat up my time and shit. But I would never, ever do it at the Palace. It's way too far away from me.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to hold people to that.
Pizza prices are going up.
No more $5 hot and ready?
No more $5 hot and ready.
When was the last time you got a hot and ready?
I was in a bind.
Oh, you're only ever in a bind when you get one. Nobody openly is like, I can't wait to go home and buy a hot and ready on the way home.
I think it was...
sometimes you might.
I think I was dropping the kids off at the Outlaws, and they hadn't eaten. And there's a Little Caesar right there, so I ran in and just grabbed them and was like, walked them in the house and was like, here's their dinner. That's probably the only time I ever get that.
I know Houghton's had one recently.
Not recently.
Before the podcast.
Probably. Yeah, I had a hot and ready before I got here.
So I hadn't been to one since I moved back to Detroit 3 years ago.
Really?
And I was in one a couple weeks ago.
They're weird. They're different.
Yeah, it's like a grocery, like a grocery store checkout with scanners and shit now. Like, the parking lot was full, and I was like, oh, I wonder how long this is going to take. And it is a well-oiled machine. It is what McDonald's pretended they always were. Yeah, like, I mean, lines don't exist because food is just here and ready.
Ovens that just sit there and hold the ready, hot and readies and just grab
They're bad. Like, if you get one, like a fresh one, they're decent. But as soon as that thing starts to cool off, like, it, like, morphs into something that's just like, what the hell happened to this thing?
Yeah, what's the basic business principle? Susan always says this, but you can either have good, cheap, or fast. You get two of the three. So with Little Caesars, it's fast and it's cheap. It's good enough.
It's sometimes good.
But I mean, again, it's not great pizza. It's, I mean, it's borderline okay pizza. But for $5, I mean, I can literally feed my entire family for $5 with that thing. So I'm fine with it. But yeah, I was shocked when I went in there with like the inventory control, computerized, everything they've got going on with that whole process. Yeah. That is not a pizza place. That is a fast food chain.
Just wait for Whole Foods. It's coming.
Did you see what Amazon introduced now with that?
No.
They announced recently, drones? Right after...
Are drones going to deliver food?
No, worse.
Drones.
Worse. Everybody's favorite thing to do is you go into Best Buy, you scan the barcode, this is what price I can get it on Amazon, knock $15 off my price at Best Buy, and you get it there. Somehow, maybe it was just pure coincidence on timing, Amazon has figured out a way to prevent in-store comparison shopping online right at the same time they announced that they're buying Whole Foods.
Smart.
Yeah. So it's probably a geofencing thing. Like,
yeah,
if you're inside of a Whole Foods, you cannot comparison price shop.
Dirty. Just dirty. I can't wait for drone delivery. Because drones flying over the hood. Take them down. Hey, that looks like a laptop.
That would be the best.
That would be so awesome.
Want to go grocery hunting today?
What are you doing? Why are you sitting like up Steve. There on that hill? I'm waiting for a drone.
I'm waiting for a drone that looks like it's got some good shit on it.
I think that one has dessert.
That they're building the facility out by me in Livonia, that warehouse. It's like half a mile long. That fucking thing is huge.
I'm surprised they're building one that close to population. They're normally not anywhere near population.
It was an old GM facility that sat idle once they kind of went through one of the downturns. Sat there forever, and they went through and just knocked everything down. And it's literally a half a mile long, just big cement warehouse.
Damn.
And it's their distribution facility that they're going to run out of there. And ironically, right down the street from there is FedEx. So it's like logistically set up.
Just crank through
for
shit.
That, and then the airport off 275, which I had read. You know, Detroit is an aerotropolis, and the vision was actually to build from the airport out to Ypsilanti, where it'd be nothing but like distribution centers, where you could fly stuff in and then kick it out real quick and keep it moving. So maybe it's getting there.
Closer.
Yeah.
So the Lions made a move. More roster talk.
Didn't they pick up a lineman?
Yeah, Greg Robinson.
Two,
yes. The one guy's name I can't say, he was the Buffalo Bills' former second-round draft pick. He was a left tackle. Then they traded a sixth-round pick for Greg Robinson, who was the former number two overall pick. He is Auburn? Not from the Rams.
I mean, he was college, wasn't he?
Auburn, yeah, yeah.
When they made a run with Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know I lost by half a fucking point in fantasy
is
baseball?
Is that what you've been looking at on your phone?
No.
It finally just clicked for him.
Well, that was something I looked at, too. Half a point.
Who'd you lose to?
Brett.
That makes it funnier.
302.5 to 302.
That sucks. All right, so Greg Robinson, former number two overall pick, who when you actually go back and look at, I think it was 2014, people wrote about how there's a really high chance of this guy turning into a bust when he was taken, and he did. But there was a couple of...
New place.
Jeff Schwartz, former Lions offensive lineman, has a podcast, was talking about, it's at Ron Prince, the Lions offensive line coach, said he's one of the best teachers there are for offensive line, and that if Robinson's going to become anything, it would be here, and it's a great chance for him, and that the Lions offensive scheme under Jim Bob Cooter is much more fitted to his...
Saw you laughing.
Yeah, is much more suited to what Robinson can do and his tactics, and that Robinson's strong and big, and can drop back and block for a good couple of seconds, but the Rams was a much more elaborate, lengthy offense that the Lions really don't have because they get the ball out of Stafford's hand quick as possible, and that he could probably fill in pretty well over there, or apparently even become a left guard.
I have no issue with that. That was a good move.
Yeah, especially for a six-round pick. Yeah.
Throw some shit at the wall, see what happens.
Because you have nothing. Yeah. Literally, it does not matter. And let's say he has a decent year. You can either re-sign him, let him walk in free agency, and he's going to sign somewhere else, and you get a compensatory draft pick back for it, which basically means you traded back in the draft a couple of picks to get him to cover for Decker, who's going to be out, they think, at least through November. So, need to come up with something. Yeah. That was a creative way to come up with a solution.
Your options of finding somebody in the roster to fill it in.
I don't know. Quinn is...
brought in two people.
Quinn's doing a good job. He keeps bringing in talent, and good things keep being said about the stuff he's bringing in. And it's very odd that the Lions are looking like the most well-run franchise in Detroit.
I thought you were going to say the Lions are looking like the Super Bowl.
No, they're just not looking like the shittiest team in Detroit.
No. That's not hard.
So. Right, yeah, honestly, right now it is not. Because the Red Wings are
usually
a fucking
the Lions
joke.
Are not in that position.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you look at, talk about 08, 09. Tigers were supposed to be competing. Pistons were falling off, but people still had faith in Dumars at that point in time. Red Wings were winning a Stanley Cup and then losing in the Cup Finals, and the Lions were a fucking joke. And we fast forward 8 years, and the Lions are potentially the most solid thing this town's got.
That's scary.
Very
so
scary.
So depressing.
It really is. So now it's just whether or not they re-sign Stafford to an extension. It's going to be about $25 million a year. And if anybody complains, they're not paying attention.
So I have no issue with it.
Yeah. You have to keep him. You don't have a choice, and that's what quarterbacks demand right now.
Yep.
Of course, I do believe that Brad Kai is the future franchise quarterback of this team.
We'll see. Jake Ruddock.
Ruddock getting cut.
It's not going to be either of them. So.
Your friend, no, it's not.
Decided to have that same conversation again. Jake Ruddock is going to be the comparison to...
There is no comparison.
Mr. Brady being sixth round, similar situation where Ruddock will sit in and he's a backup. Stafford will get hurt and he'll step in and never win his position back. I just
not
shook my
even
head, like,
close to true.
Yeah.
It is just
so far from being.
Will the Lions keep all three though?
Yeah, because I think you probably sneak Kaya through to the practice squad. Or, honestly, I do believe that they end up putting Ruddock on the practice squad, and if somebody signs him away, I don't think they're upset about it. But then that's why I think they need to sign Kaepernick.
I mean, I really don't think it matters who is on the team as Ruddock or Kaya anyway, but...
Right, and right now they don't have the coverage if Stafford gets hurt.
So if one of them is playing, the Lions are fucked. Right. So I don't think it matters what one is playing.
If Stafford's not playing, this team's not going anywhere.
So Kaepernick's still sitting out there?
He's still out there. I don't get why... Again, especially the Lions, when you don't have... And he'll sign for cheap. They have the cap room. They can fit him. I don't get why they don't bring him in. Again, I want to trust Bob Quinn about everything, but I don't think Ruddock or Kaya are helping this team win... if Stafford is hurt. But I don't know. Maybe that's his thought process of, if Stafford gets hurt, I want to be as bad as possible to get a highest pick as possible because the only chance we have in the playoffs is with Stafford. That could be his thought process.
Yeah. That's
and that he gamble. Wants to lose if Stafford's not in.
It's a huge gamble because you can start out strong.
What if you miss two games? What if he what was it, his thumb last year or some goofy thing like that? Like, could he have used a quality backup to start one or two games to potentially give you a win and let his thumb
finger
whatever, it was something on his hand that he just clearly wasn't the same after it.
Did could his wife have a baby?
I think they're twins. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's done. He's not gonna be getting sleep.
He's not getting any sleep.
Oh, he's fucked.
Yeah.
What do they have nannies and butlers for?
That is a good point. He probably does have like three nannies.
He makes enough money where he's, he doesn't have to watch his own
cut
kids.
Cut that damn noise out. I got a game tomorrow. Okay.
He's staying in hotels far away from those kids.
Now he just buys another house for the kids.
He can't wait for those kids to be five and he gets to meet them.
The nanny and the kids are living in a bigger house than any of us are.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
He's soundproof for that room.
Oh, wow.
I think the Lions have a lot of potential going into next year. If Robinson could do something, or the other guy from Buffalo, if you can just cover that Taylor Decker loss at left tackle for a short time, I it might be 6-8 weeks, but if you can cover it and be decent, I think the team's good.
They just they just signed Kenny G.
Yeah, he was the last draft pick. I think that if he turns out to be the receiver that the beat writers are talking about, the impressiveness of him, and Tease Tabor apparently as good as he is advertised, then Bob Quinn just needs to consistently trade out of the first round and just draft kids late in this draft and get as much value as he can out of all of them, because apparently that's his specialty, and that's a nice trait to have as a GM. Found a lot of late round talent last year. Looks like he might have done it again.
Yeah, if your first, second, and third round are starting, I think you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only concern with it is he's making the great moves. It's like having a broker that keeps you level, but you never like really get to that point where you're like, oh man, I'm really making a ton of money, which could happen with the Lions. Is like, oh, our team's competitive, but first round playoffs losing. How long can we tolerate? I mean, granted, we've tolerated losing.
That's what I was gonna say.
If you get to the playoffs every year, losing the first round, this town would be crazy. It'd go crazy.
I know, that's the thing. It's like, that's an interesting thought experiment there. If the Lions can make the playoffs each of the next 5 years, they get 2 wins total over the 5 years. So they're out in the first round at least 3 times. Maybe they win twice and lose the next round, or maybe year they win twice in a row. Do you take it as a Lions fan? At what point as a Lions fan do you say getting to the NFC Championship game is just not enough for me anymore?
Never.
Like, I mean, this is the fucking Lions.
Never experienced it.
No, it's about winning it all, man. You're not in it to just get to the playoffs. I mean, that's a loser mentality.
That's the Lions.
It's been a loser franchise.
What are we always hearing? We're changing the culture, right?
Nothing has changed.
Come on. Caldwell wants to win a championship.
Caldwell won't be
Caldwell
here.
Caldwell is not winning shit.
He won't be here to see
it. Oh, you don't think Caldwell will take him to the promised land?
No, I don't. All right. That's all the time we have. So we have something coming up.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
It had to be done.
It had to be done finally. After naming Air Bud.
Shout out to Air Bud.
Air Bud Rough Riders.
Countless times.
Right. We have to get the Rough Riders anthem on here.
Yeah. Mike is going to miss it.
Mike's going to miss it. He's the one who named the Air Bud Horse Racing Air Bud
Rough Rider.
I feel bad because I should have brought my dog collar and put it on. And my chain and just growl.
That's a shot collar. Yeah.
All right. Parting thoughts?
None.
Lindell?
Lions Super Bowl.
No. We didn't get to soccer, but we never do. DCFC won at Grand Rapids. They're sort of back in the playoff hunt. Big game against Kalamazoo, I believe, on Friday night.
Cool.
At Keyworth Stadium.
All right.
And that's all.
Deuces.
Thanks for coming, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening, Mike's mom. That's running with Joe.